welcome to Ella Fate in the Room, Ella Fate's weekly podcast. Today we're going to be talking to Marcus Tandler, who is a self-described search geek, and he loves working in SEO. He co-founded and is the managing director at Right.com. Their innovative software has won several awards. He's been in SEO since 1997, which was before Google even started in Germany. He started speaking publicly about SEO and online marketing all the way back in 1999 and continues to be a regular speaker at conferences around the world, such as TEDx, La Web, The Next Web, Search Engine Strategies, and SMX. He is also the founder and host at SE Oktoberfest. He was the first German to win the Outstanding Personal Contribution to Affiliate Marketing at SJU Europe and was named European Search Personality of the Year in 2017 at the European Search Awards in Krakow, Poland. We find out some interesting things about Marcus, including whether or not he would rather engage in small talk or be 5 minutes late to a meeting. Stick around to the end to find out more about that. In the meantime, grab yourself something nice to drink, sit back, relax, and enjoy our conversation with Marcus. Marcus, before we kick things off, could you explain to our audience who you are and what you do?
So, yeah, hi everyone. I'm Marcus, Marcus Tandler. I'm old school SEO. Started working in the SEO industry back in 1997. Back then, of course, not with Google here in Germany. AltaVista was very big here in Germany, and this is how I started out. And when Google started in Germany in 2000, I basically grew up with them and their algorithms. I had various roles at various companies before about, I would say, like 12 years ago. I went solo, have been SEO affiliate, doing a lot of affiliate stuff myself, lots of SEO projects, a little bit of consulting, although I'm not really the consulting kind of SEO. I like to do my own stuff. And about 6 years ago, we founded Right, which was formerly been known as onpage.org, a kick-ass solution, not just for auditing websites, but also auditing content and also search performance. And so we basically allow you to monitor, analyze, and optimize your website, your content, and your search performance, which is pretty sweet. It's a pretty innovative tool, and it's a lot of fun. Almost 80 people now here in Munich. So it's a pretty wild ride the past 6 years.
All right, great. Yeah, I know that that's a tool that the SEOs in this particular office use as well. So maybe we'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. But we're going to go ahead.
Maybe also at the Oktoberfest. I mean, there's so much to mention, right? I mean, like, for example, at the Oktoberfest, where Wojtek and Bartosz are also part of. So, yeah, I could probably introduce myself for 60 minutes. So I'm trying to keep it short. But depending on what you guys are, more than happy to talk about anything you want to talk about.
All right. So we're going to go ahead and we'll get started with our icebreakers. Are you ready?
Of course.
Okay.
I was born.
All right, Marcus, which fictional family would you be part of?
Probably the Jetsons. it's a future setting. I mean, I could also say the Flintstones, but it's just too much Stone Age for me. So I would definitely go for the Flintstones, like the flying car. The Jetsons.
Go for the Jetsons.
Everything. It's pretty cool.
All right, that's not what I was expecting, but you've heard that there's the theory that the Jetsons and the Flintstones actually take place at exactly the same time.
Awesome, I've actually heard that before. Pretty cool. Yeah, try to spread conspiracy theories here, right?
That's what we do. All right, if you could commit any crime and get away with it, what would you choose and why?
Skateboarding, because skateboarding is not a crime. Other than that, no, I'm not really the crime kind of guy. Uh-huh. Sorry about that.
Okay, fair enough. When you're putting your cups away in the cupboard, do you put them right side up or upside down?
Right side up, because I put more into one, right? So the cups, they go like two or three, so I can staple them higher, which doesn't work if you put them upside down, they would just fall over. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's just for practical reasons, so to speak.
Okay, so you do it incorrectly, I see. All right. What is your guilty pleasure song?
Oh, I'm no, there's really nothing I'm ashamed of admitting or something like this. Not to give you any ideas of asking me more intimate questions, but like seriously, there's really nothing, not a song I would be ashamed of. Having worked in nightlife for a long time in the past, I'm used to dancing and having fun to any music. So I really appreciate any music. Actually, my best friend is also always just dragging me to some random concert, so I won't know the band, I won't know the style, and I just don't care. So I can party to death metal or Euro pop. I really don't care.
Okay, so what was the last concert that you went to?
That's a really good question. I seldomly go to concerts. No, yeah. I met the Metallica drummer, so I think maybe if that counts as a concert, even mini concert.
Okay, so where did you meet Lars?
Oh, I met him at On the Marketing Rockstars. So he was one of the speakers because he's actually sort of like the mastermind behind the Metallica organization. And I was actually very lucky to be one of two people to meet him backstage, which was quite funny because he also recorded a little video for my wife and my kids because I told them they're raised with Metallica music. So that was quite funny. And he also has one of those, we have those webcam covers at Riot. It's like really the best swag we have. Like people write us regularly and want us to send them. And he actually won one too. So that's pretty cool. So Lars Ulrich has a Riot webcam cover. I love that.
Oh, okay. That is pretty cool. I don't want to say I met them, but I waited out after a concert to get their autograph back in 1988, I think. Yeah, something like that. So I saw them and with Queendrike opening up in 88 or 89, I can't remember which. Nice. We waited till like 3 o'clock in the morning to get autographs because we were dumb. But that was fun. Very great cool. Show. All right. If you could start your own country, what would you call it?
The perfect country? I don't know. Maybe self-describing is a good way to go here. I mean, I'm not self-consumed enough to call it Tendler Land or Marcus Land. So I think the perfect country is it's perfect.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Because it would be perfect.
You famously dismissed Google back in 1999. Would you like to make a prediction now that we can make fun of in 2028?
Funny. Did you want to explain the story? Because I don't know if everybody is aware of that story.
Why don't you tell them? So that's the idea. Because I know, obviously, at this point, this was even before Google had entered the German market, if I remember correctly. Is that right?
Yeah. So I was doing like workshops for online marketing. So it was also about a little bit of SEO for AltaVista and Yahoo. Of course, I mean, Yahoo being in the directory, but AltaVista, like having a lot of instances of the same keyword, maybe white font on a white background, and this would really put you up on the SERP. So it was quite easy to actually tell the people about SEO. And I really remember quite vividly when someone in the audience asked me if I had heard of Google before. And I was like, no, what is it? So it hadn't started in Germany yet. And he said, well, it's two college dropouts. They coded a search engine and you don't even have to submit your site to them. And I'm like, that's stupid. I mean, like, if I don't submit my site to them, how would they know my site even exists? That doesn't make any sense. And then he's like, well, they follow the hyperlinks through the web to discover new sites. I said, yeah, I was quite cocky back then, just as a disclaimer. I said, well, now listen to me. I'm in this business for so long. Do you really think that two college dropouts can just come in and code a fancy search engine with fancy stuff like not having to submit your site? And they can really take on like big companies like Yahoo and AltaVista. Do you really believe that? Yeah, so I mean, the rest is history there. But that's it. It was just absolutely unthinkable in what way Google actually revolutionized search. So much about my Nostradamus qualities when it comes to predicting what's coming in the future. So, I mean, I still have a MySpace profile, right? That didn't turn out well. And so and now I should make a prediction that about in the future, I really try to stay away from this. It's playing with fire here. And also, I mean, everything after the singularity will probably, it's just not predictable what's coming now, because the speed at what innovation in that space actually goes right now. This is really, I mean, even 5 years is almost unpredictable at that point, I guess. But one thing's for sure, there's always something new, and this industry is going to keep changing like it has been for the past 20 years, and SEOs like us have to adapt. So yeah, I actually really don't care about what's happening. I'm an opportunist. I'm just trying to make them of what's given to me.
Sure. Anytime I've been doing research on people before we do the podcast, so I can come up with some good questions, I come, like every single person I've looked up so far, I'll see an article related to them saying, not them saying, but usually in context of SEO is dead. And I remember seeing that in articles going all the way back to, I think, 2010 is the earliest one I remember seeing. I'm sure it's before that, but it's one of those things. So usually, like I said, not the person saying it, but yeah, SEO is dead, I keep hearing.
The first time I heard that was 2003. I mean, I love that. If people say that, great, you know, out of the SERPs, go away, bye-bye, more space for us. I mean, if you really don't get it, how big it is, and how this is still very, very good industry to be in, and a very good marketing channel. We've been growing profitably for the past 5 years before we actually took our first Series A funding round, and this was in part due to the fact that we invested early on in SEO and like heavily. Our assets like the wiki, the blog, we probably poured 500,000, 750,000 in there. And we really get a lot of traffic each and every day. We get a five-digit amount of users each day.
Oh, wow.
For free, right? I mean, this is awesome. Also in the US and the UK. So this would be very expensive traffic to buy, and we get it for free, right? So this is working very well for us. And also what's nice, if we were to turn off our paid channels, we would still generate so many users each day, because we invested a lot in very good content that people like. People like to link to, people like to go to, so Google ranks them highly, and it's very well. So everybody who says SEO is dead, be my guest. You know, you don't have to. You know, more space for us. I love it.
All right, great. Now, if you weren't doing what you do, what would you be doing?
When I was self-employed, I did a lot of stuff. For example, I once sold a movie script to Hollywood successfully. This is something what was a lot of fun. Also took my toes in. I started with radio, a bit of stuff in TV. So this is also very interesting, especially in movie. Very interesting field to be in. Did some stuff there. I support two charity projects personally that are very close to my heart. For example, Amazonica Foundation, where we support indigenous people in the Ecuadorian rainforest. I've been there 3 times already, and there's so much work to be done. So I guess I would maybe also do a little bit more of that. I don't know. I there's probably just one thing I would do. But most importantly, if it's really not about like having to make money and that kind of stuff, it would be just my family. So, you know, just getting my family and just, this is really all I do, right? I either work or
of course, yeah.
Don't have any personal hobbies, so to speak. I used to play golf. I haven't done it ever since Julius came to this world. So I saw my son 5 years ago. Of course, I do running. I do a lot of sport. I work out every day. But besides that, there's no real hobby besides my family. Mm-hmm. And of course, my favorite hobby, playing Lego with my son. I'm always biggest Lego nut ever. like a lot of people in our industry. For example, Yoast is like the he's a better collection than Legoland, and this is not even over exaggerated. It's really just crazy awesome. And me too. So we have unlimited budget for Lego at home. We've built the Millennium Falcon. We just recently built the Ghostbusters headquarter. So I just love building Lego with them. It's just great fun, and he's really good at it. So it's lots of fun.
Yeah. Oh, nice! That does sound like fun. I know that's a pretty popular toy here amongst the staff here.
What I'm saying, it's really like in the SEO industry, there's like a big correlation with people that like Lego and that are good SEOs. I don't know what's the magic here, but apparently there's something about it. I mean, it definitely is good for creativity and building something. So.
All right. Now you had mentioned at the beginning, and one of the things that you are known for, that you're the host of SEO Oktoberfest, which takes place in Munich, your hometown. What can you tell us about that? What is this event?
Okay, so SEO Oktoberfest started 10 years ago. It was initially it was due to the fact I was traveling to lots of US conferences back in the days. So I think starting in 2003. I went to SES New York, SES San Jose. So while there were still like the 5,000-6,000 people conferences, just like hugely successful. So I went to these conferences and I met a lot of American SEOs, and I always invited them to come to Munich and especially go on Oktoberfest, because it's just a totally different experience if you go with a local and if you're a tourist, right? So people, you know, see it or think how it is, but it's really totally different if you go with a local. So I was always trying like to lure them over. Once Greg Bozer famously said, hey, you should just make it a conference so we can, you know, expense it. And then we can go to Oktoberfest. And I said, hey, that sounds like a great idea. So this is how it all started out, basically like trying, okay, like we do sort of like a conference and then we can like go to Oktoberfest and like at least the people come, and it's like it's sort of like an SEO event touch. But what happens if you put 20 people? So it was 20 people in the beginning. What happens if you put 20 SEO savvy people into a room? You have a very, very good, intimate SEO think tank going on, and this is really what happened. So actually, the first SEO Oktoberfest, we never got beyond the point of actually introducing some stuff. So we basically made an introductory round. Everybody says something, and then somebody chimed in here, chimed in there. So like the whole 2 days event was basically like just introduction, people like talking and challenging and things. And this is how it started. And everybody said, okay, we got to do this again next year. And so we basically adapted a lot of the learnings. We made a lot of learnings with SEO Oktoberfest 1 and then basically started anew with SEO Oktoberfest 2. And now last year we had the 10th edition, SEO Oktoberfest 10. And we invited that time 80 people, so really like most of the alumni people could return for this 10th event. And now this year we actually changed the whole concept, because we have just outgrown this concept. I mean, like really everybody has gotten 10 years older. Most of us have families, most of us as kids. And also the people itself, you know, like being normal SEOs back then, and now they're vice president at a very, very big company or that kind of stuff. So it's just different priorities, I think. So while there was a little bit more party, although, I mean, like, it was still SEO, and I mean, like heavy SEO. It would still, 5 o'clock in the morning in the club, you would have five people putting their heads together. And I'm like, hey, people, enjoy. Here's a bottle of champagne. Have fun. And they're like, no, you know, we have this great idea. We do this and that. And then blah, blah, blah. And so it's like really, it's 72 hours pure SEO. But still, in the beginning, there was a little bit more more party, and this has definitely gone down enormously over the past years. So we don't need to be on Oktoberfest that much anymore. And now we would really look for a way to put it over the top, really reinvent the event. So what we did this year, or what we're going to do this year, we're going to go to Kassel Elmau, Elmau Kassel. It's actually the location of the G7 summit that took place 2 years ago in Germany. This is like the most luxurious spa hotel in all of Europe. I would guess. And I've been in my share of luxury hotels, and this is definitely a hotel. And so we are in the exact same room where Angela Merkel, Barack Obama, and everybody sat for the G7 summit. So this is where we meet for the SE Oktoberfest think tank. And so everybody is going to be at Alma Castle for 3 nights. So the whole group in one hotel. Most of the people also bring their families, so their life partners, even kids. I think we have like 20 kids that are coming to this event. So I hope it works, right? That we have the 50 people and their families all in one place, in one just over luxurious hotel for 3 nights. So it's like more bonding experience. And then of course we have different activities. And for example, also there's like a very famous restaurant there. That's a very good restaurant. So last year we actually tailored suit jackets for everyone, so that they have a jacket to go to this restaurant this year. I hope it works. I can't tell how the new format will work. I mean, it's definitely crazy, right? With the different conferences going on. I mean, like, we're the only conferences where experts have to pay 3,000 euros, attendees have to pay 5,500 euros, and a newbie will have to pay 6,000 euros. And even experts, right, who normally get invited and get flown in and getting paid their hotel and stuff, and here they got to pay 3,000 euros besides everything else, right? And it was still sold out within just a couple of hours. So it's pretty crazy, yeah? Yeah, to be honest, and probably Bartosz and Wojtek has told you the same thing. It's just really an awesome conference because it makes you think. You get a lot of different impressions from very good people. So this might not always be applicable to what you're doing right now, but it's just very interesting. For example, if you take somebody like Arsnake, one of the best hackers in the world, mm-hmm. right? How he approaches certain situations, how he, what he's working on currently and all that kind of stuff. And especially with him, I mean, like, I don't understand like 99%. I really only understand 1% of what he's saying, but everything else is just fine. Cool. It's just, oh my God, I have no idea what you're saying, but it's just cool. Please tell me more. But this is sort of the thing. And in the 10 years, nothing ever leaked of SE Oktoberfest, which we're very proud of. So it's really like a safe safe environment for really openly share. And the more you openly share, the more you will also get back. And we're quite proud of what also the different success stories that came out of SE Oktoberfest so far.
Yeah, I've heard good things about it from obviously some of the people here and some of the people that we've interviewed before on the podcast have mentioned it, and it's been uniformly praised. So that's always nice to hear. And you touched on this in the previous answer as well, but I know there's a specific charity that is associated with this. Mm-hmm. Do you want to tell our listeners a little bit more about that?
So it's two. It's the Amazonica Foundation, what I touched on. Basically trying to help conserve the rainforest, which is, by the way, this like the oldest piece of rainforest in the world. So it has survived the last ice age, but it doesn't survive 100 years of capitalistic men. So that's quite sad. And especially having kids, right? It's really like a situation where you're like, oh my God, you know, my son might never experience that kind of stuff in his future, and this is just incredibly sad. And it's basically supporting a good friend of ours, which is Masha Kauka, who has done this for 40 years now. And she actually, half a year, she's in Munich, half a year, she basically lives in the jungle and helps there. So she's really a phenomenal personality. She's 72 now, and she's more fit when we stroll through the jungle than I am. So it's pretty crazy. Yeah, and so we really know that the money is... in the right hands, that it, you know, it's just not like going somewhere within an organization or whatever. Though I'm really sure I know where the money goes to, and this is very important. And the other thing is the Münchner Tafel. you might know this concept as well. So what they do is they basically drive every day to different supermarkets or restaurants and basically collect the food they won't sell anymore or they won't use anymore. It's important to say that it's not something. So we're not in Germany. You're not allowed to give something out which is already over the due date. So of course this is not over the due date. So we would never give something out which we wouldn't eat ourselves. But of course, like a supermarket getting like a fresh shipment of apples will just, you know, ditch the old apples or stuff like this. And this is what München Tafel collects. And then they do a free supermarket each day. Right now they have over 15,000 recipients like over the week that go there and basically can shop in quotation marks, can shop in this free supermarket. So it's not the lowest level. So it's not like a soup kitchen, like for homeless people. It's more like the middle ground where you will have a lot of like old people or something like this, where you have a big family, but only like somebody with a bad job that won't make enough money. So it's more like a supporting thing for people, which is, I mean, especially in Munich, which is.
Oh, that sounds pretty amazing. I had heard of the first one. I hadn't heard of the second one. So,
and I've personally supported them for years. Actually, I've also drove with the car, picking up the food, working at the basically building up the supermarket for also probably for 10 years now. With SC Oktoberfest, I mean, you probably heard that we have, I think, gathered over 500,000 euros in donations over the 10 years, and we actually, I think, bought 4 refrigerated trucks to be able to also pick up more refrigerated foods, yogurt, milk, that kind of stuff to collect. So the SEO Oktoberfest community has built a lot with this. And it's always so funny because we do the SEO Oktoberfest logo on the side of those trucks, and I sometimes see them driving around in Munich because it's 4 of them now. And so it's always fun seeing that.
All right, we're going to move on to the next round, a quick game of Would You Rather? Mm-hmm. All right. Our first question here is, would you rather lose all of your contacts or lose 50,000 euros?
How would I lose my contacts? In my phone or?
Yes, just some kind of weird event. All of your contacts are gone.
So also backed up from the cloud. I mean, like, really,
you've been targeted, my friend. Your contacts are gone.
I mean, but I still have LinkedIn. I mean, it's very hard to lose all of them.
It's all gone.
I'm sorry about the technicalities, but like, really, I'm just trying to. Could I sort of build it back
eventually,
right, or not?
Eventually.
This could also be very refreshing, right? But I would probably care less about 50 grand, but I'd rather give the 50 grand to charity I guess lose the contacts in that sense.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll treat it like it was a hostage situation. We'll go with that one. All right. Right on. Would you rather have all traffic lights you approach be green or never have to stand in line again?
Never have to stand in line again. I would guess that's an easy choice because I don't like to drive with a car. I'm actually a fee, as we say, so I like to drive with the public transport. Public transport is very good here in Munich, and I actually have the subway just a short walking distance from my house. I have 10 minutes of a subway ride, and I'm here in the office. So I love that I don't have to use a car and can just take the subway. So I rarely encounter red traffic lights.
Oh, okay. That's nice. All right. Yeah, I'm a big fan of public transportation myself, so that's nice. All right. Would you rather have all of your slides be in German when you're presenting in English, or all of your slides be in English when you're presenting in German?
The latter has already happened. So,
I need to hear a little bit more about that then.
This was basically on the conference side. They were like, oh, you got to prepare it in English, and so I prepared it in English, and then it was like, oh yeah, turns out not that many English native speakers signed up, so you want to do it in German? And it's like, of course, right? I mean, like, I spent you spend like 30 hours, you know, going into this, and then they're like, hey, could you just do this? And like, of course, why not? It wasn't a very professional conference, so but I did. And but again, there's so many English words. So
Would you rather be covered in fur or covered in scales?
All right. Since I'm not very hairy, which I hate because I would love to wear one of those hipster beards like Bartosz has. I really love that. I don't have the beard for that. So I probably would like to have fur.
Don't want to look like a snake. All right. Fair enough. Would you rather be in jail for 10 years or be in a coma for 20 years?
Oh, wow. Yeah, most probably the coma for 20 years, because I think the 10 years of being conscious, 10 years being like in a shit environment, or 20 years, which is basically like you wake up and it's 20 years later, I would probably take 20 years later. What would you do? This is a really hard question, right?
I would do this. I think I would have to go with coma. I mean, the thought of being in jail for 10 years, just I can't. I just, no, no. I know you miss it on more time, but no.
But are you leading up to something? Because you were asking me what crime I would like to commit. I don't know. You know what kind of thing? You know.
I promise I'm not trying to trick you into anything. I promise. Okay, and our final question for would you rather have 3 ears or 3 eyes?
So where would the third ear be, and where would the third eye
be? Okay, let's say the third eye would be on your forehead.
Which doesn't make any sense. I mean, it would be in my back of my head. That would be pretty cool, right? But I mean, like a third eye, it doesn't really add much to the, you know, like I wouldn't be able to see much better 3 instead of 2. So where's the ear?
We'll say that it's above your left ear.
Above the left ear? Okay, I would go with the eye. I would go with the eye. Although it's really weird of having like sunglasses, something like this. You would have like custom sunglasses. Also with the ear, probably the goggle wouldn't be good. Oh, whatever. So I'm sorry.
All right. So along with running right and hosting the SE Oktoberfest, you also have this Webmasters on the Roof. And you do a full slate of public speaking events, and you've been doing public speaking for a pretty long time now. So what are some tips that maybe you could give me for keeping my vocal cords intact? I mean, it sounds like you have to do just a ton of speaking.
The vocal cords, before speaking, I do practices for my voice, you know, like doing like a grimace and like really trying to pronounce certain words or stuff like this. Cottbusser, Postkutschenfahrer, and that kind of stuff. So I do like speech training before I go on stage, which also helps. But do you mean like overall? Because there's really nothing special I do.
Okay, so how did you get involved? I know, with the public speaking. So you've been in SEO for a long time, and it seems like almost immediately you chose to go the path of also speaking about it. So what, just like a year, maybe 2 years into your career, you started going up on stage and talking about it. So what led to that part of your SEO career?
So, well, it wasn't really the SEO career in that sense, because I started it was Deutsche Post. It was a direct marketing center of Deutsche Post, which is the German postal service. And they have like seminars and workshops on different direct marketing disciplines. So like letter shop kind of things. How do I write the best letters and stuff like this? This is 20 years back, right? And the online marketing part, when this basically became really a channel, was under the direct marketing disciplines. So the direct marketing center actually wanted to extend their workshop offering with online marketing, and they were like, "Hey, Marcus, you know that kind of stuff, right?" And I'm like, "Sure." Nobody else there knew, and they said, "Hey, would you be interested in doing this?" And I wasn't actually aware of that part because I was working in a completely different branch at that time for the Deutsche Post. So I'm like, sure, I do it. And then, yeah, they said, here, this is the workshop. And it was sold out very quickly. And then all of a sudden, there were 20 people in the room. And I should tell them about online marketing. And that's what I did. And it was lots of fun. I got hooked. And it was very well received. So they booked me again. And then other direct marketing centers in Germany booked me. So I was, German Postal Service has a lot of them in Germany. So I was like at various other cities and did that workshop. And it was always very well received. So I kept on doing these. It was also nice money because I was a student back then at university. So it was nice money on the side. And then, yeah, the SEO conferences, when this started, early on in the beginning, there's a shortage of people talking about these kind of things. So it was very easy to get on stage. And as soon as you were on the first stage, you did a good job. The next guy came and, hey, you want to speak there as well? Hey, you want to speak there as well? Leading up to the point, probably like what was it, like 10 years ago, where even in Germany, we had like, I don't know, so many SEO conferences, like, and everything, every SEO conference was running very well. So it just started by having fun and also basically growing up with the industry.
Sure. That's a nice combination. And I'm sure you've seen, you know, when you start public speaking, it's one of those things, either it gets in you, you know, you get the bug for it, or it's constant torture. That's one of those, doesn't seem to be a lot of in between. It's like, I taught English for about 10 years. Mm-hmm. And that was one thing. But when I got involved with the stand-up about 6 years ago, just something about that, there was that, like, just got the hook in me. And, but I've seen other people, it's like once or twice, and it's like, nope, that's just not for me kind of thing. So, being able to have fun with it and being able to just really enjoy it. And, like you said, growing up with the community as it was there has to, be a really nice combination. Cause I just hear constantly about what a terrific public speaker you are. So I wanted to find out a little bit more about that.
Yeah, definitely. One thing, and also in 99, I was working at a radio station, a local radio station. So I was also doing radio moderating, right? It was a contemporary hit radio, so there's not a lot of moderation in there, but still, so I had like sort of like a formal training, that kind of stuff. It just fared well with, growing up with the industry and with like more and more events coming up.
All right, we're going to move on to the final round, round three, the Elevate Lightning Round.
Right on.
We're going to go pretty quickly through this one if you want, but if you want to stop and talk about anything, obviously we can. If you not sure how to answer, you just want to pass, obviously that's up to you, but you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Number one, roundup post or top 10 list?
Oh, please, no roundup post. I'd rather get the post. Did he know that one? I just Twittered something with, there was a someone asking me for a quote for a roundup post. And I wrote, thank you very much, but I'm not a big fan of roundup posts. And then the roundup post went live and she said to me, hey, I just finished the roundup post. Thank you very much for contributing. And I'm like, I didn't contribute. And I went there and it said, Marcus Tandler, I'm not really a big fan of roundup posts.
Yeah.
And this is exactly what's going on with roundup posts. People just don't give up about, you know, they just, okay, thanks, copy and paste. And it's just about, I hope he tweets it or shares this with this thing. And it's just ridiculous. Nobody reads those. I mean, I really like to know the person that reads roundup posts, because most of the times, like 100 people, like 40 of them saying the exact same thing, only with slightly different wording, right? And it's like, nobody reads that. And it's also some people from random agencies. If you're not in the industry, if you don't know the people, right, that it was like, oh, I would really be interested in what this particular guy is saying or girl is saying, right? But most of the time, it's just random people from random things, like mostly saying the same thing. Like, what the hell, right? It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that's why I saw that, and that's why I started with that one. All right. No, nice. Number two, Spotten or Hackershore?
I don't know both words. Spotten? Mm-hmm.
Or Hackershore.
Spotten?
Spotten, right? My pronunciation. So these are both Munich beers.
Spaten or Hackerbräu?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Sorry.
Really?
Sorry for my American pronunciation.
This is like, what the hell? It's like, is he speaking Polish? Like, Jen Dobry? I don't know. No, Spaten und Hackerbräu, Augustina, definitely Augustina. If you ask a local Munich guy, they will always say Augustina. Mm-hmm. By the way, which right now has a big shortage of like people not giving back their empty bottles.
I saw that.
Well, new ones. But Augustina, it always happens with them because they have like very small, like not budget, small amount of what they sell. And so they are really reliant on people giving back the empty bottles. Mm-hmm. And so it's a shortage every summer. So Munich people will always say Augustina, mm-hmm. or in my case, I could also say Tegernseer Spezial, which happened to be our Webmasters on the Roof sponsor back then. But definitely Augustina, not Spaten, definitely, although it's the biggest one at Oktoberfest, it has the most tents. Augustina is only two. I don't know if you're aware of this. As Oktoberfest, you can only sell your beer if you brew your beer in the Munich, in the direct Munich city limits.
Oh, I did not know that.
Budweiser,
okay, cool.
Budweiser couldn't have a tent or something like this. You have to be in the Munich city limits and brew your beer there. So it's only the big beers.
All right, then. Yeah. LinkedIn or Facebook?
I would probably say Facebook. Although I'm not very social on social media, it's probably with Germans, like overall, right? We're not big with Twitter. And also, like, I see a lot of difference between my German friends on Facebook and my American friends on Facebook. It's very different. I rarely post something. But it's still nice to keep in touch with friends around the world. So, LinkedIn obviously is very important for our business. I would personally choose.
Okay. Marvel or DC?
Marvel.
Potato salad or cucumber salad?
Potato salad.
Okay. Night owl or early bird?
Both, but if I would have to choose early bird.
Bach or Beethoven?
Probably Beethoven.
Tourist attraction or off the beaten path?
Off the beaten path, always. I hate being a tourist, so yeah.
Hamburgers or Frankfurters?
Hamburgers.
All right, and one last question for the lightning round, just to engage a little bit here in some German stereotypes. Would you rather engage in small talk or be 5 minutes late to a meeting?
Oh my God, dude. So first of all, engage in small talk. This is like the worst, right? I mean, like seriously, like I think not just German, but like also for me, I hate small talk. And this is like people where people will always think I'm like very rude or like because I don't like small talk. Like a lot of Germans don't like that. We like to get to the point, that kind of stuff. And the worst is like small talk. And then people also talk very slowly. I generally hate when people talk very slowly. And so this is like the worst of the worst. But also being 5 minutes late, this is like ultra worse. I mean, like 5 minutes late for a German, this is really bad. It's like it might even happen that I don't even look on my watch and I gotta be there at two and somebody will say, hey, let's meet around two. So it's not really like a set date, right? So I won't look at my watch. I will be there too sharp, right? And this like exactly, it's just German. It's it has a lot to do with respect in that sense, right? I mean, like if we agree on something to meet at that particular point in time, if I'm 5 minutes late, I'm it's sort of disrespect.
I know it's a tough one, but I'm going to need an answer. Engage in small talk or be 5 minutes late to a meeting.
I would rather engage in small talk than be late. I would like really physically feel bad if I'm late.
All right. Well, there you have it. So good to know. Okay. Well, thank you very much. Before we go, do you have any final thoughts? Is there anything in particular you would like to promote right now?
Of course, a phenomenal software you might not be using yet. The guys at Alphate already use it very successfully. If somebody is interested, I'm more than happy to even give a personal tour of Ride. Just shoot me an email. My email is m@m.de. It's very easy. m@m.de. Anybody who would like to have a personal demo, just hit me up. I'm more than happy to do it. It's really a kick-ass software.
All right. Terrific. Thank you so very much, Marcus. We really appreciate you having you on the show. That was a lot of fun. And we wish you the best of luck, especially with the SE Oktoberfest coming up this year. And Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I mean, awesome format. I mean, I love that. You know, that's not like the general, normal SEO bullshit talk format. Very cool. Thank you very much for inviting me.
You have been listening to Elephate in the Room, hosted by Derek Caraview, produced by Christian A. Dumais, music by Giant Monsters on the Horizon. This podcast is a part of Elephate, the 2018 European Search Awards winner for Best Small SEO Agency. Follow Elephate on Twitter at ElephateSEO and on Facebook at Elephate. Thanks for joining us and see you next time.